surrender yourself, and then you can cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Some of you do not believe yet that he cares for you. And why do you not believe that he cares for you? Because of the things that you've suffered in this life, the things that you've gone through in this life, the disappointments that you've gone through in this life, the broken promises that you've experienced in this life. And you say, how can I go through all of this and a loving God care for me? How can I care? You don't trust him to cast your cares upon him. But today I hope to unlock something inside of your heart that will allow you to cast your cares upon him, for he truly does care for you. I want to read you an excerpt out of the book that John Melinde wrote. And it says, there was a point in my life, and maybe some of you are here right there, right now. There was a point in my life when I became so discouraged and angry with the enemy and his attacks against me that at times I just wanted to hide away in some obscure place for a long time. This is a man that was used mightily to transform the whole nation of Uganda. And yet he writes these words. He goes on to say this. I was ashamed of the way that I had lived my life based upon the words of Christianity rather than the reality of Christianity. And I arrived at this point where I was coming to the end of myself. Some of you are at the end of yourself. You said, I've tried everything. I've done everything that I've heard to do, that I know to do. I've read the books. I've listened to the messages. I've watched the TV messages. I've done it all. I've labored in prayer. I've done this and I've done that. He said he was coming to the end of himself. Now, in hindsight, he says this. That was a good place. It was the place where the Lord wanted him to be. It was a place where he would finally surrender his life to the Lord. See, God wants us to surrender all to him. Everything. What does it mean to surrender? It means that no longer am I following myself. Rather, I'm saying I will follow the Lord. It is the releasing of control and focusing not on what you want, but what he wants. It is not what you think, but what he thinks that is important in your life. His words become the standard of your life. It is the complete entrusting of my life into his hands. That's what it means to surrender. In order to surrender, you have to trust. And to trust, it means believing enough to put all matters into his hand. All matters. Doesn't mean that you do nothing, but you do only what he leads you to do when he tells you to do it. I want you to hear that. When you surrender to him, doesn't mean that you go and you sit and you lay on your bed. It doesn't mean that you go and sit in a chair and just wait for things to fall out of the sky in your behalf. It means that you wait intently, you meditate on his word, you listen, you open your ears, you intently and intentionally give yourself to hear what the Lord is saying to you. It means you sometimes put aside great books. You put aside great teachings. You turn off the TV from great preachers, and you sit before the Lord quietly, all by yourself, all alone, all by yourself, right in that place. You're not asking anybody for anything. You just sit there before the Lord, and you say, God, here I am. Speak to me. It's in that place. That's the place of surrender. And he will speak to you things that no one else can. Specifically for you. Not for your neighbor, not for your friend, not for your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, but for you. He will speak to you in that place. That is the place of surrender. That is the place of trust. When he sits there and he speaks to you and you hear his voice clearly and you rise up and you do exactly what he tells you to do, however different it may seem from your rational mind. Understand, when he told Joshua that the way that you're going to take this fortified city called Jericho is to march around it, I'm sure that Joshua wasn't thinking that is the greatest military strategy. But because he trusted God, because he has surrendered himself to the Lord, because he trusted in God's faithfulness, because he has seen it over and over again, he said, God, however strange and crazy it may seem, I'll do it. And you and I know the results. The walls came down and they walked right in to that fortified city. And the same thing that happened with Joshua can happen for you if you surrender your life to the Lord. If you'll trust him with everything. The wayward child.
Amen.
The difficult spouse. The obnoxious, hard to deal with manager or boss or whatever you want to call them. The terrible neighbor. Or even your own self. If you'll surrender your life, say, I want to do it. Just like that song says, I want to be emptied of everything that's not like you, Lord. Everything. That's the cry of many's heart. But it's in the place of surrender that you get emptied. It's in the place of trusting that you get filled with everything that God has for you. Why don't we surrender our lives to the Lord then? I would say there are a lot of reasons. Fear, pride, idols, distractions. We can go on and on about all of the things that have already been revealed to us. But I would say there's one key thing that we have not talked about. Maybe you've heard it in the past, but I hope today that somehow the Spirit of the Lord will captivate your heart, will unlock your heart, and will allow you to receive it, not in your head, but in your heart. Surrendering is impossible without encountering love. I'll say that again. To surrender your entire life, your future, your finances, your family, everything to the Lord is impossible without encountering love. Love makes surrender and trust possible. Does not happen with head knowledge. And I believe if there's one concern that I have in America, we have too much head knowledge. We go to conference and conference and conference. We go to class and class and class. We read books and books and books. But the one thing we never do is let it move here in our heart so that we can do what we've heard. We got to transfer it from here to here where it moves us. You will not be moved by what you know intellectually, but what you receive in your heart. You will not be moved by what you know emotionally, but by what is real inside of you. It is in that place, when you encounter love, it is in that place that you have surrender. I want to read you this verse out of 1 John chapter 4. This is what it means to encounter love. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been perfected in love. You see, perfect love casts out all fear. It is in love that you are able to surrender and thus receive all the fullness of God. In our class this morning, we were listening to something, and I just want to read it real quick out of 2 Peter. I wasn't really preparing. This was not part of my notes, but when I heard it, I just said, wow, this is good. But it's in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and it says this: as his divine power has given to us, say me, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of who? Through the knowledge of who? Through the knowledge of who? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. That's key. The reason why I had you say that, the reason why I had you say to the knowledge of him, is because in the knowledge of him, you are introduced to love. In the knowledge of him, you are introduced to love. I want to read you this out of his book, because these are attributes of love. And it's really, I thought this was just marvelous when I read it. These are attributes of love. It says, love casts out fear, 1 John 4:18. Love fulfills the entire law, Mark 12:29-31. Love covers a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:8. God is love, 1 John 4:16. Love is from God, and love is born of God and knows God, 1 John 4:7-8. Do everything in love, 1 Corinthians 16:14. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, 1 John 5:4. Faith expresses itself through love, Galatians 5:6. He that remains in love remains in God, 1 John 4:16. By this everyone knows that you are my disciples if you have love one for another, John 13:34-36. Remain in my love, John 15:9. It's all about love. But I want to say something to you about love. When we think of love, many times, oftentimes, when we think of love, we think of an action or activity. But 1 John 4:16, I'll read you the whole scripture. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. The key is, love is not something, love is someone. And that's who I want to talk about today. I want to talk about who this person, I want to talk about how we enter into this place of relationship with love, because love is the person of God. God is love. He is the essence. He is the embodiment of love. You don't know love until you know God. And that's why many of us have not been able to surrender our lives and move forward into an overcoming lifestyle, because we don't know God. We know of him, but we don't know him. We know about him, but we don't know him. I want you to look to the person at your right and look to the person of your left. Who do you know them? Some of you do, because some of you might be sitting by your spouse, or some of you might be sitting by your children. You say, yeah, I know that one. But others of you are sitting by somebody. You say, I see their face a lot. But I don't really know them. I know of them. I see them. But I don't know them. And that's the way we are with Jesus Christ. That's the way we are with God Almighty. We know about him. We've read the scriptures. We've read the books. We've heard other people's testimonies. But have you taken the time to know him? God is a God of covenant. It says, the love we need to surrender to and trust completely to Him. So we can live a wholehearted life for God. Not accomplished in our own activities, but by our relationship with Him. Love. For this love is not something, but someone. God has desired and invited mankind to live in covenant relationship with Him ever since He created them. The above passage capsulizes what it means to be in covenant, binding one's life to another. In the time that remains, I will give you the process of ancient covenants. You see, God is a God of covenant. So if you want to be in love with God, if you want to enter in that place of relationship with God, then enter into the place of covenant. And covenant is not something that we know a whole lot about. We know about contracts, but we don't know about covenant. Covenant goes far beyond a contract. A contract is basically something put in place to protect yourself from others. Covenant is something that's put in place to bind yourself with another. The binding of oneself to another, that's the place of covenant. And covenant is not something that we enter into lightly. Covenant is something that was negotiated. Sometimes for as long as 3 years, the families would get together. They would sit down in places like Africa. They would sit down, the heads of the family, and they would talk about what the contents of the covenant would be. What the covenant? Because a covenant is something that goes beyond your generation. A covenant went from, it could go as far as 8 or 9 generations. Covenant was binding and it bound every member of the family. That's why when Jonathan made covenant with David, Saul was perturbed because he knew that in the place of covenant that Jonathan would be more bound to David than he was to his father. Place of covenant. It's a place of binding yourself with one. And it's a place where we come into a relationship with God. The covenant had, another aspect of the covenant was, there was a cutting in the covenant. You see, in the covenant relationship, there was the shedding of blood. God showed that He was in covenant with us even in the garden. Even after man sinned, he killed an animal and covered them with skin while they were trying to cover themselves with fig leaves. That was the first sign of the covenant God. He was covenanting Himself with mankind. In the place of covenant, there was a cutting. You can see this if you look at Abraham, the covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis 15, verses 1 through 21. There is a cutting. And what would happen is the two heads of the family, come here, George, for a moment. There were the two heads of the family, they would stand in the midst of the blood and they would pledge themselves to one another. Native Americans used to cut themselves and they would do like this. I'm part Native American, and they would do like this and they would put their hands together and they became one. They would call it being a blood brother. You see what I'm talking about. God sent His Son. Thank you, George. God sent His Son. And His Son came and He shed His blood so that we could have covenant with God. He came down and He allowed Himself to be pierced. He allowed Himself to shed His blood that we might have covenant with God. And it is in that place of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ that we have the covenant forevermore with God the Father. Covenant. Not contract. Covenant. Binding oneself to another. In the place of covenant, there was the exchange of mantles. A mantle it represents authority. So all the authority that these heads had of the families, they would exchange to one another. God said through Jesus in Matthew 28, He says, All authority is given to me. And I am giving it to you. Everyone that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, everyone that of you that has entered into the covenant, have all authority of God residing inside of you. Did you know that? Were you aware of that? I don't think you were. Because if you were, you would not be quibbling with small things. You would not be struggling with sin. You would not be. You would be able to overcome the idols in your heart. You would be able to surrender your life totally unto the Lord. If you understood that all the power of heaven resides in you. Yeah. Little old me, little old you. All the power in heaven resides in them through the person of the Holy Spirit. The covenant was the exchanging of authority. God has given you authority. We say that a lot when we're in a crowd, but when we're all alone and we're facing a challenge, sometimes we don't believe that. It's in that place where you got to rise up and say, I take authority over this. If you believe him, if you trust him, it's in that place when the situation looks dark, when the situation looks gloomy, when all the forces of hell are coming against you, that you stand in that place and you smile at the devil. And you say, all authority in heaven resides in me. You don't know who you are. He'll roar like a lion at you. He'll run like a little scaredy cat. But if you know who you are, you'll rise up at the roar and you'll say, I don't see no teeth in your mouth. It's just a sound coming out of your voice. You'll rise up, you'll stand up and watch him flee. It's about being submitted to God. It's about understanding that all authority. God made covenant with you and he gave you everything that belonged to him. All authority resides in you. You're crying out. You're hollering out. You're weeping. You're saying, God, save my marriage. God, save my son's soul. God, heal this person. He says, it's already in you. Speak the word. Don't come begging to me. Speak the word and believe it. And you will receive it. You see, it's a place of covenant. In a covenant, they also exchange weapons. The heads of the family would take off their belt, their weapon belt, and they would give it as a sign that when you do battle, I'll be there with you. That when you go into war, you don't have to run to your cousin. You don't have to run to your uncle. All you got to do is let me know and I'll be there. And God is saying that to you. With every battle, he's right there with you. With every struggle, he's right there with you. Every time you go to war, God is right there with you because he's in you. He's right there. He says, I will give you all the weapons. And if God gives you some weapons, they are weapons. He is the omnipotent one. He is the overpowering one. He is the all-powerful one. So all power resides in you because God is with you and in you, and he will come upon you to do what he wants you to do. You have no need to worry. You have no need to fret. Because all authority and all power resides in you. In the covenant, they would exchange names. That's why many times God is referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we are referred to as the people of God. There's a change of names in the covenant. God is giving his name. And the name represents the reputation. It represents the whole of who you are. So when you say, when you rise up, when somebody says to you, who are you? Don't tell them I'm a member of Thus and So Church. No. I'm a child of God. That's all you need to know. I'm a child of God. That's where your identity is. It's not in the name that's above the place that you go to. It's in the person that resides inside of you. I am a child of the living God. Who are you? I'm a child of the living God. I'm going to ask you right now, who are you? Who are you? Some of y'all don't say it like I think you need to say it. You don't say it with confidence. I'm going to ask you one more time. Who are you? That's right. So when you're standing in that dark place, hell is against you. Just rise up and stand in your identity because he has given you his name. Then there was the breaking of bread, the place where they would pledge themselves and they would break bread together. And, you know, that's why we have small groups, so that we can break bread together, so we can get to know each other. That's what happens in our life groups. You get to know me more than just PK. You get to know Keith. Yeah. You get to know me intimately, more intimately. Not just what you see on Sunday or Monday, but you get to know me. And this is the place where they would pledge and they would make vows and they would vow to one another that if you break covenant, curses come upon you. And if you notice, every time that Israel got in trouble, why did they get in trouble? Because they broke covenant. God is a God of covenant, and every time Israel broke covenant, then things happened to them. So as we remain in the place of covenant, guess what happens? We remain in the place of overcoming. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like. You got to understand, when they wrote 1 John, it was not because everything was hunky-dory. It is not because everything was right. It is not because everything was good. They were under tremendous persecution by the government. Tremendous persecution by the synagogue. Tremendous persecution on every side. And yet they penned these words. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. They were fully persuaded. They were confident that God loved them. So even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of death, they would not be silent. Paul said to them when he was in Rome, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What do you do with somebody like that? If I kill you, you're going to be happy. If I let you live, you're going to be happy. I'm going to just leave you alone. That's the way he desires for all of us to live. I want to tell you a little bit about, from a personal level. Because as I've spent my life, and I've been in ministry for a little while, and I've counseled many people, and I've observed many people's lives, and there are basically three situations that brings a person, to the place of surrender. Death or near death. That's why many times at funerals, salvation comes. Because the reality of my mortality confronts me. And I began to reach out for something more. in the place of desperation. Like the woman with the issue of blood. She had tried everything. She had spent all of her money. And there was nothing else left. And she didn't care what anybody had to say. She didn't care what she looked like to anybody. She says, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. So it's in the place of desperation. Or in the place of death or near death. How many times have you heard somebody talk about their near-death experience, and out of that near-death experience, they somehow come to this place, this saving place with the Lord? Or is out of a glimpse of true love? I want to talk about what happened in my life, true love. When I was 16, I gave my life to the Lord. I believed on the truth of the word, but I had no knowledge of the person. So for the next few years of my life, every sin you can name, I was in it. I was doing it. But I still called myself a Christian. Because I didn't know and I had not entered into true covenant. I had not surrendered all to him. And then one day, I met someone. And I saw in that person a love that I had never seen before. That love was not for me, but it was for someone else. And I observed that person. And I want to show you in this example how covenant works. You see, up to that point, every time I had met a young lady, I always had another young lady in waiting. So if this didn't work out or something went wrong, I could fall back on something else or someone else. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just being real with you. Some of y'all been in that place too. But I always have another lady that I could call. But then I met this one lady. And she started to turn my head a little bit. I was attracted to her because of her beauty. But I fell in love with her because of her integrity. And eventually I came to a place to where, you know, I can let all the rest of them go. I can surrender my single life to this one because I trust her. 33 years later, we're still together as husband and wife. Never once have I even contemplated being with someone else. Because I trust her. That's what covenant is all about. When I said I do, I told the Lord, I'm going to say this one time, forever. I said I do to my wife because I could trust her. I have finally seen someone who loves someone greater than they love me. And the one that she loved was him. One of the first things she says to me, if you're going to be with me, then you got to be with him. And I was like, oh, for real? I didn't believe her at first. I figured, she's just talking. I'll sweep her up in a minute. Well, I kept sweeping, but she never came up. So finally, I surrendered. And I gave my life back to the Lord, and I started walking with him. Because there was one who loved someone greater than they loved me. And then I became jealous of the love she had for the Lord. There were times when she would say, I can't talk to you right now. Got to go be with him. And I'm like, I'm your husband. I gave up everything to be with you. You ain't got no time for me. You got to be with him Seriously. That's the way I was. You got to be with him? Were you going up in some ozone somewhere? She said, no, I got to be with him. And it sparked a holy jealousy. Because there was something that I saw that I said, I ain't never loved anyone like that. I came to a place of desperation. I said, God, I can't put up with this anymore. I got to have what she has. Otherwise, I don't know if this will last. And it was in that place that I began to surrender my whole life to the Lord. It's in that place where I realized that there's one that I got to love greater than my wife. And it is him. There's one that I've got to be in covenant with. And it is him. When I walk around here and you see me and it looks like nothing's bothering me, it doesn't mean that I don't have challenges in my life. It doesn't mean that things are not going on in my life. It means that I trust. I trust him with everything. When I give my tithes and offering, when I give my out of my treasures, it doesn't mean that all the bills are paid all the time, but I trust him. When I come and I work with my hands and I do all the things, it doesn't matter if you notice me. I don't care about that because I trust him. When things come against me and health and sickness comes into my family, I trust him. I remember an occasion when my wife was rushed off to the emergency room and they took a picture of her and there were blood clots all in her body. 3 days she lied in the hospital. And I said, Lord, something's got to happen. Doctors didn't know what was going on. Nobody could figure it out. And so one day, they were about to take her in for an exam. And I went to a room, a waiting room. This is what I'm talking about, desperation. And I said, I don't care who sees me, and I don't care who hears me. But I got to talk to the Father. And I began, people opened the door and shut it. Woo! Something going on in that room. I don't care about you.
Hallelujah.
After
about
10
or 15 minutes of that, there's a knock on the door. She tapped on the door. She said, woo! Come with me. Are you Mr. Richardson? I said, yeah. She said, come with me. I walked down the hallway. She said, I don't know what happened, but there's nothing there. Wow.
I said, I know what happened. I talked to my Father and I trust him that she will be made whole. And that can happen for you. I don't care what your situation is, if I can get the worship team up here. I don't care what your circumstance is. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what's going on around you. Whatever it is, trust him. Surrender him to him. Jesus said this, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we stand to our feet this morning, I want to say this to you. And I hope you hear this from my heart. I hope today something has happened inside of you that will cause you to say, I don't care about my pride. I don't care about my fear. I don't care how many times I've been disappointed by the promises of man. by the promises of others. Today, I'm surrendering all to Him. God's standing here with His arms wide open. He says, I've been waiting for this moment. I've been waiting when you cast off all fear. I've been waiting when you cast off all pride. And just come and lay your head on my bosom. And surrender all to me. Come into that place of rest. And so maybe you're here today and you've never asked the Lord to be your Savior. He's playing a song. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I've been and I've heard a lot of sermons and I've heard a lot of messages, but I don't even think I've ever truly made a covenant with my life, with the Lord. Guess what? That's the first thing that needs to happen. Because all the things that I've talked to you about, all the power and all the authority, only comes by way of covenant. It only comes when you say, God, I surrender all to you. I'm giving you all of me. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. But I don't need to know, because I heard something that struck my heart this morning. And I trust you. I trust you enough to say, I'll give you my life if you'll give me your life. If that's you this morning, I want you to just lift up your hand. And I want you to just come right down front here. Just come on down. Come on down. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. If that's you today, come on down. See, this is not about fear. It's not about pride. It's not about who's standing beside you. Say, I surrender all. Come on down. If that's you. Come on down. Come on all the way up here. Talk to y'all in just a minute. But there's a second group of people that I also want to talk to. And maybe you were like me. Maybe initially you said, God, I accept you as Savior. But you've never said, God, I'm willing to surrender the rest of my life to you. I'm willing to cast my cares upon you. I'm willing to give it all to you. Everything that I've ever worried about, everything that I've ever been concerned about, everything that I've wrestled with, I'm willing to say, God, I can't do it on my own. I've got to give it to you. If that's you, I want you to come on down. If that's you, if you're in that place this morning, I want you to come right down front here. Come right on down. It's about surrendering. It's about giving everything to Him. And can I tell you that sometimes surrender doesn't always happen in one shot. Sometimes it's a process. And you, little by little, you take a step. So I want to talk to these ones. If I get a few prayer